we're going to the third part, actually the final part of this should wrap it all up. Actually, the first part was divided in two, A and B. It'll be listed as, because of sound problems that I had here with the computer. Actually, with the headset, I think I'll be going up Sunday to get a new headset. Hopefully, they'll have something different than what I've got. All right. Who were the Greeks in Acts 14? We covered Acts 13 to some degree. The parts that applied, but in Acts 14, verses 1 through 4. By the way, we use the King James Bible for its accuracy, and it is the Word of God for English-speaking people. But it helps if you would get in the habit of setting it by the computer there and opening it to the verses we read and reading them yourself, in, you know, so that the Lord is speaking to you, not speaking to me to speak to you. And it helps. It helps to edify and helps us to come to the knowledge of the truth. Acts 14, 1-4, that was in the synagogue in Iconium. And we can clearly see the distinction between the Greeks and the rest of the Gentiles. It shows that the Greeks are not just any other Gentile. They're different. First, let's look at the verses, and for context, we'll read from Acts 13, a few verses before the end of the chapter, the last two verses, and then go into 14. But the Jews stirred, this is back in Antioch of Pisidia, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. Expelled them. Verse 51, and but they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. Chapter 14, verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And before we go on, let's discover what part, what condition of Jew they were that ran the synagogue, the hosts, the synagogue rulers. If you're looking in your Bible, turn to John 9:22. I'll read it. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, they should be put out of the synagogue. So they had already, the apostate Jews that ran the synagogues had already agreed that if somebody said Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah, we should believe him, they would be put out of the synagogue. They're limiting the people that they're supposed to be serving. They were limiting their ability to hear the good news. So the synagogue hosting Jews would not believe that Jesus was the Christ. That was their condition, that of being disbelieving Jews. So let's go on again. Chapter 14 in Acts, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So here we can see a second condition of Jews that believed the gospel of God, who Jesus is. And that's who Paul was separated unto, wasn't it? I mean, he was separated unto the gospel of God. We read that in the first verse of Romans. The condition of those Jews was that they were believing Jews. That was their condition. Let me start over. Besides the two conditions of Jews, we can see in that one verse, we can see some Greeks, and the verse tells us the condition of those Greeks. The Greeks believed that Jesus was the Christ when Paul preached it unto them. That's what he would preach in the synagogues. Their condition was that of being believing Gentiles, called Greeks. Let's read 14:1 again in review. It says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." So you've got believing Jews and believing Greeks. Does that sound familiar? The Jews and also the Greeks. It should sound familiar. Look at Romans 1:16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." That's how God saves people. That's what enables God. God provided it so that he could save people. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." I saw that verse today in a Facebook quote, and they put a period after believeth. That it's crucial that you don't cut short what God says. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." In other words, along with those Jews that come first, there are the Greeks there with them. So those that Paul addressed after his sending in Acts 13, verse 2 and verse 4, sending by the Holy Ghost, they were Jews and also Greeks. That Romans 1:16 tells us the saving gospel of Christ was to, at that time, was sent to, was directed to, was available to those Jews and Greeks. Jews and Greeks. The believing Jews and Greeks. Let's read 14:1 again. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." Sounds like Paul is going into enemy territory by going into the synagogue. But they're the ones to whom Christ sent Paul. If you look at Acts 26, verses 16 and 17, he was sent to people he would have to be delivered from. Christ sent Paul, making him a minister and a witness in his revelations to people from whom Christ would deliver Paul. Those people were the ones that Paul had to be delivered from. Christ would deliver Paul from both the people, Israel, and from the Gentiles. Let's read those verses. Let me see. I didn't put a break in there. I've got two verses together as I see it here. It's Acts 26, verses 16 and 17. "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee." This is Christ talking to Paul on the road to Damascus. It's Paul's report of what was said on the road to Damascus. "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." So he's sent to the people and the Gentiles that he has to be delivered from. So far we've discovered two types of Jews, believing and disbelieving, regarding the Messiahship of Jesus. And we've discovered a type of Gentile Greeks that believed Paul's gospel of God, gospel of God about who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Messiah risen from the dead. Now let's read further into Acts 14:1, and we'll see some other comparison or contrast here, the types of people. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. In Acts 14, verse 2, who are the brethren? Made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Who are the Gentiles? The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Who are the unbelieving Jews? Look at the previous verse. It says, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. So they're believers. We've already seen that the unbelieving Jews run the synagogues to which Paul went and read their scriptures. So that identifies the unbelieving type of Jews. The brethren that they're that great multitude that, you know, it said both of the Jews and also of the Greeks that believed in Acts 14:1. But who are the Gentiles that the unbelieving Jews stirred up and made their minds evil affected? Those Gentiles were not the Gentiles that were called Greeks, which believed. Those Gentiles were the other Gentiles from outside the synagogue. They were Gentiles that the Bible elsewhere calls alien. Not from outer space, but from outside of Israel and outside of Israel's covenants. They're separated from God's people. These Gentiles didn't care about the God of Abraham or their eating habits or their worship, you know, anything like that. Their Sabbaths, they didn't care. They probably mocked them, threw stones at them. We know there was a riot in, where was that, Ephesus, I think? But anyway, they had to be stirred up before they got involved, though. It was the unbelieving Jews that stirred them up. Going on in Acts 14, we'll look at verse 3 and 4. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. So the Jews would be the synagogue hosts, the ones that ran the synagogue, the rulers of the synagogue. And the apostles would be those on the other side of the division that it says was there, those that believed the gospel of God that Paul preached. Actually, in verse 1, there are two conditions of Jews. There's the synagogue of the Jews, with the Jews that run the synagogue. It's of the Jews, in other words. And also, there are Jews that believe Paul's preaching along with the Greeks. So the two conditions of Jews were believing Jews and disbelieving Jews, those who ran the synagogues. And we've seen two conditions of Jews in Acts 14:1. Two conditions of Gentiles also in 1 and 2, Acts 14:1 and 2. The Greeks that believed Paul's gospel of God, also we saw those stirred up Gentiles with evil affected minds. Acts 14:4, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. In Acts 14:4, who was the part that was with the apostles? And who was the part that was with the Jews? The only ones with the apostles were the Jews and Greeks that believed. The part that held with the Jews were all those townie from the town, the Gentiles. with their evil affected minds. And we can see right there that there were two conditions of Gentiles, the Greeks and the aliens. Look at verse 5 and 6. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled. And as we go back over the passage, we see that in Acts 14:1, both Paul and Barnabas went into the synagogue of the Jews together. Now, when Paul went into a synagogue, what was his mode of operation? What was his way of doing things, his manner? We find that in Acts 17, three or four chapters later. Acts 17, verses 1 to 5 tells us, Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Verse 2, And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, is Messiah. So that's strictly the gospel of God. The same three elements mentioned in Romans 1, 1 through 4. So they preached that in Thessalonica. It says they reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging. When you hear reasoning in Pal Talk or Facebook, it's often not out of the Scriptures. It's out of their minds, out of their heads, their philosophies, their opinions. Some of them, in verse 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And that consortium was Paul's meeting. That's people that believe the gospel of God that's met separately from the synagogue with Paul or Paul's fellow workers, fellow laborers, he calls them. And they got to hear the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ. Paul would preach it to them because they believed the gospel of God. So it says, verse 4, Acts 17, verse 4, And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Verse 5, But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and you know the rest of the story. Same thing as in the other places that he had visited. They repelled, did worse than ignore the gospel. They repelled it. They rejected it, along with their Messiah. Along with rejecting their Messiah, I should say. Acts 15, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Okay, bringing up a new line of thinking. Who are the we in that, and who are the they? It's commonly thought that, you know, that often people that don't rightly divide will say that means that Israel is saved the same as the body of Christ. Body of Christ saved the same way as Israel. It doesn't say that. It doesn't mean that. If you study the context, they're different. I mean, Peter had been talking about Christ having sent him to one household of God-fearing, Israel-blessing Gentiles. Cornelius' house. So the we is Peter. He did the sending. So we believe that, and those that he's talking to, the little flock there in Jerusalem, they is Cornelius. and his household. We're nowhere in the picture. The body of Christ is nowhere in the picture. In Acts 10, Paul didn't know about the body of Christ. Paul hadn't started preaching it. We'll go on from there. We're not waiting for Christ's return to earth for him to blot out our sins, as Peter said in Acts 3:19. He says we shall be saved, not we are saved. On the contrary, when we believers today coming into the body of Christ by faith in the gospel of the grace of God, we're saved by, well, look at Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. With Christ, by grace you are saved. We're not waiting to be saved. We are saved once we believe. They weren't. They had to wait until Christ returns to have their sins blotted out. That's why they're told, you know, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, Israel, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let's look at the context of that Acts 15:11 verse. We'll start in verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, if you don't study the context, you'll think that he's saying all the Gentiles, but he didn't say all the Gentiles. The only time he was sent to Gentiles was to Cornelius, and that's the Gentiles he's talking about. A good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles, that's Cornelius and his household and friends that gathered in his house, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That has to be about Cornelius' visit, since there's not a word anywhere in Scripture about Peter ever being sent to any other Gentiles. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Peter was referring to the gospel he preached, Peter's gospel of the, you know, it was the gospel of the kingdom coming out of heaven to earth to rule it from the land. And going on, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. That's Peter still speaking, talking about giving the Holy Ghost to those at Cornelius' house. Even as he did us, that would be in Acts 2 there, the giving of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ shedding the Holy Spirit on them from heaven. That was verse 8. Verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, between the little flock and Cornelius and his friends, purifying their hearts by faith. Verses 10 and 11. Now, therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they shall be. That's future, waiting for the Lord to return to blot out their sins. This is all about Israel. None of it is about the body of Christ. So, that concludes the study, and there's room for more study.